So let's turn to the Word today. I know I don't have much time. If I preach the full sermon, it's going to be definitely going over time. But as we celebrate the coming of the Messiah, the coming of our great Lord and Savior, we also need to remember that we live in anticipation of the second coming, the great day where he will suddenly appear, not as a baby, but as the judge of all the earth. This day is obviously dreaded by those who reject Christ and what he offers, especially his authority. But all the masks and facades and pretenses will fall when the sky will split and the King of Kings will make his entry into this world. And the Bible describes this event as an event that will be witnessed by all people. Every eye will see him. And I guess the blind, they will then see too. They will see him coming. When we read the book of Revelation in the context of our passage here in Revelation chapter 11, we read that the seventh angel sounded. It's very important when we follow the story in the symbolic language in the book of Revelation. Now, when the seventh angel sounded, that there's no more time, that something specific, remarkable, historically great happened. And we read this and sing this in the song of the Messiah. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That means that God will have the final word in everything. God, through Jesus Christ, will write the last chapter. He will be there when everything is gone, when this world falls apart, literally. But he will judge the world through Jesus Christ, not through the Old Testament method, but through Jesus Christ. And some will receive rewards, and others will receive just punishment, or I would like to call it justice. The fact that we see in this text here is that all authority will flow to Christ. Since God will judge the world through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he will give Christ all the authority then to judge. Everything will have to come before Christ. Every person that ever lived, no one will be absent there. No one will hide. Everyone will be before the Messiah. See, the judgment was not given to the angels. The angels will not judge us. Nobody else, the elders, pastors, or leaders, they will not judge us. Presidents and kings and Caesars that have lived in the past or are living now and governing now, they will not judge us. Justices, supreme courts, they will not judge us. It will all be one person, and that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one will escape it. It will be the Word that was incarnated, the Word, Jesus Christ himself, God made flesh, that same Jesus Christ that later died and rose from the dead and went up to heaven, he will come and be the judge. Not only that, our text says that all kingdoms will become his subjects. He will be the King of kings over all. Let me just mention something here about why Jesus will not establish a materialistic kingdom as some will have it. The Bible here is very clear in verse 15 that he will not confine his kingdom to one small area like Jerusalem or Israel. It says here, there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign. How long? 1,000 years? No. Forever and ever. How long is that? No end. See, a material kingdom will come and go. That has happened in the past many times. An earthly kingdom, and this is why Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. It will not be contained to one certain area. And the reasons why is given to us in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. All nations will be represented. In Galatians 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. In other words, you are all under the authority, under the rulership of the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he wants to rule over you forever and ever. There are those that say that the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt, and the Old Testament sacrifices will come back. Loved ones, that is past. That is fulfilled. That is done away with forever. Because Jesus, as Lord and King, he reigns forever and ever. There will be no more going back to Old Testament sacrifices. That is actually a blasphemy against the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And there's four major problems with the temple being rebuilt. First of all, right now, the Muslim temple, the Mosque of Omar, stands there. That would have to be torn down. And could you imagine what that would ignite if that would happen? Another problem with that is that there are no pure-blooded descendants of Aaron anymore, because Jesus, as the high priest, was after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. Another problem is that it is repulsive for Jews to restore animal sacrifices. And not only that, but the Palestine Arabs possess the land that is desired by the Jews. So when it says here, all kingdoms must become subject, that means that the day comes where all human authority is dissolved. All of us, together with kings and former kings and presidents, we will be all on the same level. Christ, the ruler of every nation. The second part I would like to point out here is the spiritual power that will be given to Christ over all. Actually, when Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And therefore, he says, go and make disciples. Here it was the 24 elders, which represent the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament people of God. We know that there are 12 tribes of Israel. We know that there were 12 apostles. So 12 and 12, 24, all representatives of God's people at all times. Listen what they did. They got up from their thrones and they cast their crowns down, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and you have reigned. The nations were angry and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints." Loved ones, the power, spiritual power, is given to Christ. And he talks about the rewards. Justice. And when we go into celebrating Christmas this year, we need to consider this thought, this concept about justice. The nations were angry. Why? Because there was injustice. How does God's wrath come? In that he sets things straight. He will show what should have been and what is right in his eyes. God's wrath breaks loose upon angry nations, the Bible says here, and all who rejected Jesus. This rejecting or rejection was manifested in injustice, in hatred, in corruption, in materialism, and in spiritual apostasy. This is what we have today. We live in a world with a lot of injustice. We can say, yes, we live in Canada, we live in this wonderful country, and everything is going well. No, everything is not going well. There's a lot of injustice going on, a lot of hatred, a lot of corruption, a lot of materialism, where the focus is so on the here and now that we don't have time to focus on what really matters in eternity. But see, when the King of Kings comes and brings justice and brings light to all, he'll set the record straight. Those that suffered pain and agony, that were persecuted, those that suffered bullying, those that suffered in any way, shape, or form, will see justice happen. What kind of rewards are for us as God's church? The judge will be just. He will not overlook anything in your and my life. If you have done all you could, sure, we're not perfect. No one is perfect. But you tried to serve God with all your heart. You feared God. You prayed. You kept your relationship with the Lord alive. Then there is a reward for all of us. In 1 Peter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, "To an inheritance he has called us, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." I want to say this to encourage you. I want to say this to give us hope. God doesn't overlook anything. He will reward those that have suffered. He will comfort those that have grieved. He will heal those who have hurt. And if you have been done wrong, and in this life, it's never reconciled, mark this. Justice will come. God will see to it. But he will bring it when he comes. That's part of the reward. I encourage you to keep praying. I encourage you to keep seeking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he's coming again soon. May God bless us in this Christmas season to be ready for him. And as we heard in the song that was so beautifully done, Lord, come into our world. We invite you. And Lord, come again. Come soon, so that justice will be there once more. God bless you. Amen.